Tonight's lesson is entitled, Dare to be Daring. Often we'll see on the news when there's a burning house and we've heard of somebody that runs in to go save the baby that's crying in the second story of the house. And we hear of other people doing daring things. I don't know about you, but sometimes I give myself anxiety attacks thinking about what I would do in certain situations. Would I be daring? Or would I be a chicken? Would I be scared? I'd like to think that I'd be daring, that if the call came, that I could be a hero and do so physically. You know, there's another side of being daring, and that side is spiritually. How excited are we to be daring with our Christianity? I'm not saying go outside the realm of the Word of God. But I am saying is being dynamic in your service to Him. In our introduction, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I'm sure that you may accidentally flip to the summer Olympic Games at like 3:30 in the morning. And you find all kinds of events that you're like, I didn't even know this was a thing. I don't even know they did this. And one of the events that they do is something that we did when I was in third grade. And you have a stick, and it has a ribbon attached to the stick. And they move around and just make the flag. And I'm like, this is an event. They're talking about getting rid of Greco-Roman wrestling, which was in the first real Olympics. And they're wanting to keep stick with ribbon on it dancing. Now, I'll go ahead and let you know I don't know much about stick with a ribbon on it dancing. But I do know that if they're wanting to win the gold medal and be able to really show out for Luxembourg or some other tiny country, and this is something they're able to actually compete in, and they're going to go out with that stick with a ribbon on it, and I mean, they're going to move like they've never moved before, and they're going to shake it, and they're going to wiggle it, and they're going to do all kinds of things to make this ribbon do all kinds of tricks. And they're going to try to do something big and probably something flashy at the end, maybe a somersault or something, I don't know. And they're going to want the judges to give them a good score. They're having to be daring. They're having to exert. They're having to show something special to separate them from the other people that found sticks that had ribbons on them and stumbled into wherever the Olympics are. Said whatever country they're from. Now, if we were to make a comparison to this great Olympic sport and our walk with Christianity, what type of stick with the ribbon thingy type of person would you be? Some people like to play it safe, don't they? You know what? I'll show up to services. Not going to rock the boat. Not going to make my friends mad. You know what? I am not going to... You know, I might go to some work days. Donnie does a really good job getting those set up. You know, I might do that. But you know what? I'm good with what I'm doing. Which is the equivalency of... I'm just barely going to move. And then at the end of the routine, act like you've stuck the landing. Just, yeah! And expect the judges to go, bravo. And I imagine the day of judgment, this attitude that some have of barely wanting to do anything to get out of the safety zone, and then the day of judgment, act like they've stuck the landing, and they're like, all right, God, let's get through this. Where do I go? Where's paradise? I want in. I'm ready. You see that landing I stuck? That life's boring. That's not dynamic. That's not daring. We just finished our Acts to Action series. Chris did an awesome job this morning. If you weren't here, get a copy of the CD. And we see men who were daring, who in the face of adversity spread the gospel. They didn't play church. They were an example that we can follow. Tonight, we're going to go over different examples in the Bible when it comes to being daring. And with so many people in the Bible, this lesson's got 34 points. So I want you to sit down. I hope you brought some water, some fluids. We're going to be here for a while. Paul preached to midnight. I'll just be getting going. Nope. We got three. 3 points, because that's what we learn in homiletics in preaching school. 3 main points. We look at the first. Let's be people of purpose. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. He had purpose. He had a goal, and that goal was to be pleasing in the sight of God. He purposed that. Have you purposed something similar? If we're commanded all of a sudden to do something that is not right in the sight of God, are we ready to stand strong and deal with the government consequences? Are we going to do what it takes to be pleasing to God? We can look back to the first century. There were Christians who were covered with meat and fed to lions, fed to wild dogs. Are we willing to go to jail, get better health care? I didn't think about that when I was preparing the lesson. Are we willing to purpose that regardless of the consequences, we're going to serve God? And ultimately, it'll be God who judges us. In Matthew 6:33, Christ said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Are we truly seeking first the kingdom of God? That's only a question that you're going to be able to answer. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We live our life by the Bible. You know, last week, my wife went to go spend my mother-in-law's birthday with her. I really butchered that sentence up. Went down to Arlington, Texas, off of California Street, and turned onto Avon Hill and spent a couple of days with her mother. My mother-in-law. Got it. And left to my own devices, if I was left alone for a long time, I'd be eating chili out of the can. I don't care. I mean, she's got to call and say, yeah, I really do that. Lisa has to keep an eye on me. I am a better man physically because of my wife. I've lost about 20 pounds. Drop in the bucket. Probably can't tell. But it's because she has been persistent in helping me. She also helps me spiritually. She wants to help me in my walk. And I want to help hers as well. When we do things our own way, left to our own devices, that's only going to lead us to hell. If we're going to live a life that's pleasing to the Father, we have to let the Lord establish our steps. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. If we're going to be people of purpose, we need to remember why we're here. We need to remember what we died to and what we're living for. And if evangelism isn't part of what you're living for today, you're doing Christianity wrong. And I hate to put it that way, but if seeking and saving the lost isn't in your mindset, you need to study your Bible. If you disagree with me, feel free to talk to me after services and tell me how we don't need to be evangelistic. I'm all ears. And I don't mean to be facetious, but we see directly part of Christianity is sharing the soul-saving gospel that we were obedient to. We need to make a purpose. If we're going to be daring, we're going to make a purpose right now. Before we left the Metroplex, I was taking karate. And I was the toughest in there in a room full of third graders. It was great. I'm just kidding. It was an adult class, but it's a funny visual. And one of the things they would make us do is get on the ground and fall back. And you have to fall back, and we would do it over and over. And I understood why, but some people didn't understand why. And it was so, when you are doing this, you're not going to fall and bend your arm the other way and break your arm during karate practice. That just doesn't sound tough at all. But we did those things over and over and over, so when we actually went through drills and had to fall down, we fell down the right way. When we purpose in our heart to do what God would have us to do, we're going to study our Bibles. We're going to be prepared. And when that moment comes for us to share the best news that there is to share on this earth, we're going to be ready. We're going to be able. We're going to be excited when given that opportunity. But we have to purpose today to be ready later. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. So many brethren take this scripture the wrong way and use it for their own devices. Use it for their own desires to fit an idea that they want. You take a scripture from its context, you've turned it into a pretext. When we look at this scripture, it ties so closely to Galatians 2:20. When we have died to ourselves, we're no longer living the life that we want to. In that sense, we're no longer living with our choices. Our choices after becoming a Christian should go along with what the Bible would have us to do. In that way, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In that way, we are just earthen vessels. I'm going to die. Hopefully not right now, even though that would be a great sermon example if I just keeled over right now. Be ready to die, kaplunk. Wouldn't be funny, though. People are laughing. It's just not funny. Just messing around. I am going to die if the Lord doesn't return. But the gospel will still be carried out. People are still going to share the gospel. What are we doing while we're alive? While we're living this life that we're giving over to the Father? We have to be people with purpose. We have to be people with principles. I couldn't help but think of Paul when we talked about being a people of principles. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. I just read that. Esther is who I was thinking of. I was like, wait, Paul's the third point. Spoiler alert. If we're going to be people of principle, I couldn't help but think of Esther. When you open the book of Esther in chapter 1, Queen Vashti was asked to come before King Xerxes. The various translations have different names for him. I believe it was Xerxes. And she refused. Vashti refused. The council that were with the king said, oh no, you can't go with this king. Because if, think about how hard we're going to have it when we go home to our wives and tell them what to do. And they say, oh yeah, well, Queen Vashti didn't go before the king and he didn't do nothing and he's the king. So the king had to do something and they needed to find a new queen. Esther, who had been raised by her uncle Mordecai, as her parents had passed away, was Jewish. Now, they didn't realize, she knew she was Jewish, they didn't realize she was Jewish. And in comes Haman. And Haman has this great idea to kill all the Jews. Mordecai finds out about this plan and tells Esther, you need to go before the king. You need to tell him what's going on, and you need to try to change this. Now, granted, I am having to cram things in. Esther's a really good study, though. She put her life in her own hands, because at that time, if you weren't called to the king, it was safe to just wait till he called you. Because if you don't go before the king, you're in trouble. If you go before the king, when he doesn't want to see you, you're in trouble. Mordecai told Esther, you have two choices. You can watch your people die. They're going to find out you're one of us, and they're going to kill you eventually. Or you can stand up for us. Esther was daring. She was a person of principle. She went before the king. In Esther 7:3-4, the queen answered, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish and my people for my request, for we have been sold, I and my people, to be killed. Not even to be put into slavery, but to be killed. And Haman is having a big old time. He has built a giant gallows, and he is going to hang Mordecai, her uncle. Well, after the king hears this, he gets mad at Haman for wanting to kill the Jewish people because the king really liked Esther. And Haman got hung on that gallows. So it's a happy ending. She was daring because she lived by principle. Paul shares that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. When we're principled, when we know what we should be doing, when we're prepared, and when we're living what we're supposed to be living, is when we can be the most effective. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Grow, work, continue, power, all of these things, endurance, patience, we can get from studying the blueprint, the plan that God has laid before us. We're also going to want to be a person of prayer. I can't tell you exactly how prayer works. We can find different things in Scripture, but I can't tell you exactly how it works. I can't tell you about providence because in the book of Philemon, Paul couldn't even tell us about providence. But there's power in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. You know, it's easy to get off track with our prayer life, isn't it? Because we can get busy and you say, all right, I'll devote before I go to sleep is my time of prayer. I'll let you into Lisa and my marriage for a second. It takes Lisa a good hour to go to sleep. And that's if we've got the kids still locked in the car. I mean, she cannot go to sleep on her own. for an hour. She lays there for an hour. I put my mask on, not Batman, but like my CPAP mask. I put that on and I'm out, maybe 5 seconds. It's like, no telling how many times she's been talking to me. And she gets to lay there for another 57 minutes and I'm out in 3. I can't devote the time before I go to sleep for effective prayer. And you'd think I'd be smart enough to realize this. But every night, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do really good. And I get, dearest Heavenly Father, and go into the things that I'm thankful for and the things I'm happy about and the things that I'd like for to do and for Him to bless the work, and I'm done. I wake up like, I didn't finish praying. I'll do better tonight. That's a personal struggle that I have. And I'm sure that some have the same struggle. I don't know how prayer works. I don't know how God chooses what to answer and what not to answer. But we see that we need to continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful at it in thanksgiving. Always praying for the will of the Father to be done. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We need to be a people of prayer. And not only when we're praying are we petitioning the Father, but it gets our mind back where it should be, centered on the Creator, centered on God the Father. When we're devoting our time to thinking about Almighty God, it should pull us back to where we should be, setting our sights on things that are above. Do you dare to be daring? Are you a person of purpose? Are you preparing yourself to do what you need to do when the time arises? Are you a person of principle? Are you living the type of life that you need to be living? Are you ready when the time comes to stand up and stand right for God? Are you going to be a person of prayer? At the beginning of the sermon, I talked about the people that came up with having the stick with the ribbon attached to it. If they're the ones that win the gold medal are just running around crazy and shaking that and making the ribbon fly everywhere. And then at the ending, standing before the judges knowing that they've given their best. To make that spiritual draw, are we living daring lives? And when the day of judgment comes, will we stand before the Almighty God? Are we going to stand before our judge and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? We're only going to do that if we're giving our best effort, if we're going to dare to be daring. If you're not a Christian this evening, I'd encourage you to become one. We'd love to study with you. We'd love for you to obey the gospel, hearing and believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized to walk in a newness of life, as Romans 6, 3 and 4 state. But if you're a Christian and you know you just need the prayers of the congregation so that you can get back to being daring, so you can get back on your spiritual feet, I encourage you to do that. But if you realize you're sitting in the pew this evening and you haven't been very daring in your life, that you've been the person that would rather play it safe than live that dynamic Christian life, let's work together. Let's do what it takes to be daring. Let's do what it takes to go seek and save the lost. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.